from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions. Deliver me, O God, from the need to be understood, from the need to be serving others, from the fear of death or triumph, from the fear of humility. Deliver me, O God.
To read those words, you know, we did it last time, we just read them, but you know, sometimes we sing songs and don't pay attention to what we're singing, so this time I'd like you to read the words, starting at the top. Let's read them together. We're agreeing to this, right? Let's together. From the love of my own comfort, from the fear of having nothing, from a life of worldly passions, deliver me, O God. From the need to be understood.
Go to the third verse, will you, buddy? Third verse. Keep going. From the fear of serving others, from the fear of death or trial, from the fear of humility, deliver me, O God.
Deliver me, O God.
And I shall not want, no, I shall not want. When I taste your goodness, I shall not want. Listen, today we're going to just work at some of this a little bit together in a corporate fashion. The deliverance that God has for us, the freedom that He has for us in this current context, gets us to a place where there is no want. There's a process by which we need to get there, and He's taking us through that. Many of us have experienced through our lives all sorts of kinds of difficulty. And we have, as we've talked a lot, we have a complexity to who we are. And when a brain, when a mind goes through something, it learns from it. It doesn't always learn the truth from it. Sometimes it learns a lie. Even though the experience is real, that which is learned from the experience may be false. The only way to know the truth is to know the one who is true. And the only way to have your mind be renewed, to come into conformance with his mind, is to give up some of those thoughts. The enemy loves to attach himself to a lie gained by experience and then exert control and exert influence in your life through that. Today we're going to do a couple of things, but I want you to understand that there's a bondage in the soul that comes from learning something that was a lie. Let me give you an example. Some of you were abandoned by a parent in your life. And it would seem that it would be legitimate to learn abandonment from that. And in fact, your mind and your emotions can learn abandonment. And when your mind and your emotions learn abandonment, it's easy then to agree with abandonment. Okay, so I want you to hear what I'm saying, because this is important for us. When we learn something through an experience, we begin to agree with that thing in our own mind and in our own heart. And it's a dangerous place to be, because it's our minds, let me just say this, our minds don't learn something just exclusively for that event. Our minds try to learn something that we can apply to all future events, okay? You know, when you walk into your new offices and the light switches, instead of being up and down, are left and right, your mind learns that, and your mind says, oh, in order to turn it off, I've got to go left. It's not down anymore, it's left. And to turn it on, it's right. And within a week, you're slapping it left and right without, and it's just easy. Because your mind learns patterns, and it applies the pattern that you learned. The next day, you go up a floor in the same building. You're still slapping left and right, and it's just, you've got this all figured out. Your mind has it understood. You see? It takes and applies the patterns of yesterday into tomorrow, because it believes these things. That's what a mind does. It's a relatively scientific thing that your mind does. But in that is the root of acquiring lies. You had a comment, I'm sorry.
What came to mind was things are easier the second time around. And we are fooled into thinking that we deserved the abandonment, or we earned it somehow, and this is how my life is. The lie is, this is how my life's going to be, until we turn and see the light.
That's right. Now, here's the fundamental lie that we need to really be aware of, and that is, you see, everything that we experience reflects on the nature of God, simply because he is the creator and we know he is our Father. And so very often, in the process of mentally and emotionally learning something, which happens almost automatically, that we begin to reflect a perspective onto the Heavenly Father. But let me just say to you that if you were abandoned, and let's face it, if you weren't abandoned by a parent, then you probably were abandoned by a spouse. And if you weren't abandoned by a parent or a spouse, then maybe it was a kid or a friend or a mentor or some, you were abandoned sometime. Let me just tell you, okay? You just don't get through life without something. And the problem with it is that we learn it. And in learning it, we come to agreement with it. And when we come to agreement with it, we say, not intentionally, but inside of us, we begin to impugn the very nature and character of God. And this is where you can see the progressive attachment of the enemy to an experience. And to the proceeds of an experience. You may not even, let's say, have interacted with the abandoner, okay? But if even it comes down a family line, because there are spiritual curses that come down a family line, and you can actually receive abandonment as a heritage, because your parent believed in that, or your grandparent lived and spoke out abandonment. So let me just I use abandonment because it's one of the key aspects that we have to address. But I want you to understand that these are bondages that are in fact spiritual in nature, but they are also bondages that have been sown into our soul. Does that make sense? And when we begin to operate, God is calling us, all of us, into new levels of reaching, new levels of ministry, new levels of our calling and our destiny. And when you walk into that place and have yet maybe a piece of something that remains connected to you, perhaps a piece of abandonment, a lie, a piece of something, maybe it's not abandonment, maybe it's a maybe it's anger that comes out of the abandonment, or maybe it's a sense of failure or depression or anxiety that comes out of any of these things. Mom, what'd you say? Fear that comes out of one of these things. When we drag that thing into the next level with us, it becomes more clear and more problematic. And so then God says, okay, it's time to address this and deal with it, okay? He allows us to go and maybe even feel the pain of it to a certain degree. Okay, so what do we do about this? Several things that I want us to understand. First of all, it's... Yeah.
On the way to church this morning, I felt like the Lord said to me, the bondage of the soul. And I'd just like you to... I'd like to define that in some sense. Of course, George has done it, but I'd like to do it again. The bondage of the soul. What is the soul? It's mind and will and emotions. It's the natural man functioning is the soul. At least that's my understanding. Then there is the spirit in the spirit realm. The natural man functions on the basis of his mind and his emotions. When we're born into this world, we are natural men. And some of you, 50% of you are natural women, but you're natural. The natural man functioning leads us into a bondage. That's how life works, on the basis of my soul, how I think about it, how I feel about it, and the decisions and the experiences I've had that I have processed through my soul. Are you with me so far? That soulish part, and it sounds like it's a nasty thing, but I'm just trying to say that's how we operate. We operate in the level of the soul, and the soul has understood and felt some things, and so the natural man functions on the basis of the soul. He does have spiritual assistance. And what George was talking about was some of the negative spiritual assistance that the enemy comes along and says, not only did you get abandoned, but it will always be like this. Okay, so now in comes the lie that strengthens the soul in a position. I want you to recognize also that there's a spiritual realm on the positive side. And the enemy who has first dibs
make sure that we don't want to hear, the soul man does not want to hear the other side. He already is suspicious that the other side, because he's been sowed into, his soul has been sowed into, and he has already embraced the bondage. You understand what I'm saying? But the Spirit of God comes along, and he wants to say, yes, but God. God has this for you. God wants to say. And so there's an argument going on between the soul and the Spirit of God.
When George first started talking about this, instead of abandonment, the Lord started showing me things where being ignored, but you know how sometimes parents don't listen really to their children. They just kind of ignore them. And so then the thing that happens is that you get into other situations and you begin to feel like that's the way it's always going to be. You're not heard. That was the big thing that he was talking to me. And it just really pointed out, because when you're in that position, it not only destroys your, you don't speak up, you kind of pull away from people. And then the other thing that happens is when you want something from the Lord, you already have decided you're not heard. And so sometimes you don't even ask. And what I heard the Lord saying was, I hear you. Ask. And there's this fear that you won't be heard. And so then you're like, why should I ask for something I don't feel like is ever going to happen? And so your connection with God disappears too, because you're too afraid. And he used that just to show me how that all connects, not only with people, but with my relationship with him.
So there's an argument between the soul of man and the spirits of darkness and the Spirit of God. And I just really want us to recognize that the argument is real. And understanding that there is an argument says, I will not be held captive by the forces of darkness, nor even the bondage to my soul, where I have arrived through various experiences. I'm not going to stay there. By the grace of God, I'm going to walk out of there. By the power of God, I will be set free. There's a need to recognize that the conflict is real. The conflict is ongoing. It's not over with. When you got saved, it wasn't over with there, and it won't be over with today, but it's a conflict that you can win because he has won it. And I just want us to catch that drift, that there is a conflict, it's real, and God has determined to set us free from that conflict.
I know it's been said. Jocelyn said it, you said it, and I think he said it too, but I think it's, at least from my experience, it's valuable to understand we don't initially realize it's a lie against God. Because we receive it as a put down or a commentary on ourself. And then the commentary on ourself, if we can know God, learn to know him, then we see how there is a difference here between how I think he sees me and he sees me. And then where you are now, which is ready to deal with the thing, then we understand that it's a lie against God. It's almost like first it comes against me, and then sometime the Lord, in his goodness, reveals, oh, it's a lie against him, like you're saying. And so I think sometimes we don't recognize it because we think it's only against us. We don't understand that it's against us.
You know, anybody that has a kid knows that if you punch my kid in the nose, that's one of the more difficult things for me to deal with. Let me just tell you that when the enemy punches you in the nose, it is always against Father. You see, the enemy,
You're a useful tool to hurt the father in the enemy's mentality. If he can hurt you, that's the best he can possibly do to hurt the father. He's an enemy primarily of your father. Yes, he's your enemy too. But that's just because it's so useful to have you get hurt. He's not your energy because of you. He's your energy because your enemy because he wants to injure you in order to hurt the Father. And here's the deal. So here we are with a relatively scientific mind. Actually, Allie and I were talking about the philosophy of science and things like that because she had some papers to write and things. And one of the things that you recognize about science is you walk along until an event occurs that requires you to change how you were thinking. That's how science works, okay? An experiment happens, and then suddenly the old theories aren't as good as we thought they were. And from the new event, from the new something that happened, you learn something. And then you create or you suggest a new theory, and you hope that maybe that'll work with everything. And then you take that theory and you say, well, if that theory is true, well, then this must be true. That sounds a little funny. Let's see if it's true. And if it is, then maybe the theory goes on. If it isn't, then the theory dies. Do you see? But that's how our minds work. And that's how our souls operate. And you see, when we speak of something in agreement with that which we've learned that's a lie against the enemy, we confirm that which has taken root in our soul, and we invite the malevolent interference, the further interference of the malevolence of the enemy. And so there's several steps that I want us to walk through. First of all, while we've been talking, perhaps you've thought of an event when you weren't heard, or an event when you were abandoned or rejected. Maybe an old hurt that you're, or maybe you even recognize a pattern. Perhaps the Lord brought to mind a pattern in your generations of your family. Perhaps you can think of a time when you were betrayed, or when you were dramatically injured because of somebody's walking away from you. Those are the arenas. Or maybe you can even see, let me just say this, maybe you can see a place in you where you feel very anxious about an area. Let me just tell you, that's rooted in a deeper thing. That's rooted in a fear. And perfect love casts out all fear, do you know that? And so there's an injury to love that underlies anxiety. There's an injury to you in this same arena that would underlie depression. Depression often manifests itself, excuse me, as me against me. Depression says hopelessness. Depression says I'm against myself. You can see how these are rooted in abandonment, betrayal, lies against the nature of the Father. I'm going to tell you something. In the event in which you personally were very personally abandoned and injured by someone, I'm going to tell you the truth about that. You were not abandoned. Now, maybe the person abandoned you, but I'm going to tell you the truth. God did not abandon you. And maybe the person devalued you and ignored you, but Father did not devalue you and ignore you. Maybe the person said you're worthless and demonstrated your worthlessness through his or her actions, but your Father always loved you. And so even I know we experience these things. I personally have experienced rejection on very significant scales. But let me tell you this. That experience has more lie to it. Facts are facts, right? No, it has more lie to it than truth if I learn from it. abandonment and divorce and injury and rejection. So, the first step that I'd like to take, I'm going to just tell you how we're going to walk it through.
While I was on vacation, I tried to reach out to a business contact to aid me in something, and we don't need all the details, but he didn't return my call for 2 days, texted me just a short go here or ask that person, kind of when I was asking a whole lot more. And I felt snubbed. I felt like he was kind of pushing me off, kind of rejection. I ran into him, and he says, I still owe you a phone call. I am so sorry it's taken me so long. I said, well, I thought maybe, you know, I've put you in a bad place. He says, absolutely not. I want to talk to you about it. I've just been too busy. But the destruction that it tried to do to me in between those two conversations is exactly what you're talking about. It's the lie of the facts. Does that make sense? I just thought a real world
example. The facts are facts, but the lie comes in and uses the facts to speak not just about your buddy, but about your value. I was in that conversation.
And where I'm supposed to be walking.
And who you are and where you should walk, okay? But I was in that conversation with him, and the whole thing is, maybe I'm not that wanted. Well, I'm not wanted by him, apparently. And so then maybe that whole category of people probably don't want me anymore. Maybe I should just give up in that whole arena. Okay, I mean, I'm not bashing David, but I'm telling you, that was, in fact, the progression, the real-life soulish progression, because somebody was too busy and or whatever he was doing in his life, okay? And not just that, but because David has been rejected. You know, his older brother beat him up once, okay? Or whatever, okay? And he's been rejected and reduced in value such that the lack of affirmation from this guy significantly impacted David in terms of his own sense of value and abandonment in the both. And all of it was a lie. All of it was a lie. So, again, yes. That's good.
My brother taught me an exercise. I've been left alone. I must not be lovable.
Mm-hmm.
But the truth is, God loves me dearly. And he's always there. So replace the fact with the truth each time.
Mm-hmm.
Something that when something is not helpful mm-hmm. in my life, replace it with God's truth immediately.
It's very important to do, and we say that, and yet it's a tricky thing to do because we learn so easily. We learn lies.
At least for me, it's important to understand the reason for it. So rejection is a great one to talk about because I, of course, lived in it. And when I began to understand what it was and what it was doing to me and that it was a lie from the enemy to hurt me and therefore hurt the Father, then I had what it took to reject the lie and believe the truth. But at that point, I recognized something. Maybe I'm wrong, and I'm happy for you to say it, but I believe that because we are born unborn again, the enemy has access to us when we are young and not able to resist him, not able to even recognize a false, a lie. And he will use anybody He will use the people that love us the most to say or do something so that we can get that rejection message. And in my own walking, I wish I have totally walked out of it. I'm not sure that I have, but I made a long ways. I began to realize that we all were born that way. Mm-hmm. And it's like a favored tool of his is to say. Now, Estella's telling us the solution to it. But the getting into it is because we were accessible. Now, people that don't know the Lord don't have what we have to combat that rejection lie. You said abandonment. It's awfully much the same thing.
Yes, abandonment
how
and rejection.
It came, our position, our condition that allowed us to receive that is very understandable.
And because it starts so early.
It does. Yeah. It's before we can say, it's before we even know about lies that it begins because of the enemy so much wants to harm God's sweethearts.
It starts before we're born. The reality is this. I mean, you look, you know, I have a granddaughter that you guys have all seen, and I rather like her. And she rather knows that. Okay, and she's going to turn 3 years old soon, and yet she has learned over the course of three action-packed years, she has learned a great deal. And in that learning, one of the things she's learned is that, by and large, you can go to Grandpa and get love, okay? You may not always get what you want, but you can get love. That much she has clearly learned. But many three-year-olds have not ever learned that about anyone in their life, and all of us are someplace in some spectrum of that, okay? That's the reality. And when you're a 1 and 2 and 3 year old, your brain, by design, is such that you are amazingly adept at forming hypotheses and confirming these and creating patterns. Okay, so those first, you guys know, I spend time and effort and money working to create stuff over in Kenya to aimed at little children, the first few years, right? And the reason is this. It's so essential. Those first few years, the child is malleable Play-Doh, and they need to learn something about the love of the Father because that's the truth. And everything else that they might learn is a lie, if it comes against that. So let me again come back to, here's where I want us to go today. I would like to pray over you. I would like you to come into agreement with your freedom from abandonment, your freedom from rejection, your freedom from low value, your freedom from the impact of hurt, your freedom from secondary aspects of this, anger, depression, anxiety. Okay? I want you, right now, to, if you have events, some of you are living right now in a relationship with a spouse that's not valuing you, for example. Some of you, okay? Some of you are, you know, in other work relationships where you do the very best you can. And in fact, you're good at it, okay? And they don't care. And they communicate to you. And the lies that have already been seeded in there communicate to you your valuelessness, okay? I want you to just in your mind right now, begin to stack a few of these things on, because we're going to go after those things together in a moment, and I want freedom for you. Mom, did you have a comment? Mom says that the most important thing is to know God loves you. If you don't get there, you've gotten nowhere. That's the truth.
Okay, I'd like to talk to you a biblical basis for all this, and I want you to get this. I mean, one of the things that we're going to deal with here, it's almost like, okay, let's try to make this work. There's a couple of scriptures that I'd like you to just absorb. Revelation chapter 13 says, is talking about those lost, all those that dwell upon the earth shall worship him. He's talking about the enemy, whose names are not written in the Lamb's Book of Life. All right, is your name written in the Lamb's Book? All right, then, okay, it's not talking about, here's what it goes, whose names are not written. The Lamb's Book of Life, slain from the foundation of the world, if any man has ears to hear, let him hear. And so there has been a provision, slain from the foundation of the world. God has made a provision for you in this hour. Now, how do I know it's in this hour? I'd like to read just a few verses out of Hebrews, and I just want you to really grab a hold of this. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 11. It starts like this. Every priest stands daily ministering offerings time after time after time after time. I've added a few times in there. He offers sacrifices over and over again, which never can take away sins. But Jesus offered one sacrifice. Do you know what the next words are? For all time. One sacrifice for all time. Say it. One sacrifice for all time. One again. One sacrifice for all time. He paid a price for all time, from before Adam to whenever it ends. All time. One sacrifice for all time. That happens to include me. That happens to include you. There was a sacrifice made to set us free from the bondage of the soul and the bondage that the enemy brought us into. One sacrifice for all time. All right, now I'm going to read some more. This is Hebrews chapter 10. It's really there. I'm not making it up. It's really there. One sacrifice for all time. He, Jesus, having offered one sacrifice for all time, sat down at the right hand of God. He did his job. He did his job. Waiting for, from that time onward, waiting. What's he waiting for? Until his enemies be made his footstool for his feet. For by one offering, he has perfected all those who are sanctified.
And it says he has perfected for all time. Those who are saved.
So notice this all time thing. He died for all time and he has perfected for all time. He has done what is necessary to accomplish what we're talking about here. He has set us free once for all time, once for all saints to be accomplished. You say, well, I don't understand. How does that take care of Abraham? I don't know, but the scriptures say, he was slain from the foundation of the earth. It was a done deal back then. It was done 2,000 years ago, and it's for all time. That includes me. The thing that we're talking about, bringing the bondage of the soul into order, has to do with what Jesus did and is doing in this hour as well as all time. Yes.
Good morning, Lisa.
When Mason was a little guy, he loved to play marbles when we would come, and his favorite thing to do would be to put all the marbles in the circle and take the biggest one and drop it from the top, and they would all go flying. Some of them would get lost under the couch. Some of them even would break because it would be hard enough. And the Lord showed me one day that that is like the trauma in our lives. That the enemy comes.
Courtney, did you teach? I'm sorry.
And pulls the fire alarm.
There's only one other little girl that's ever pulled a fire alarm in this place, and that's that one over there.
That little blonde girl over there, when she was a little bit older than that, discovered this thing, and it says, pull down. I mean, the instructions are there. And having, well, she was reading when she was three, so, you know, she was, I think she must have been four.
Three. About the, she was three.
She could barely reach it. And so she did what it says. It says, pull down. And so she did it. And it set the alarms going all over this building. They went nuts. And because we then go looking to see where the fire is, it was a little blonde girl. A little blonde girl has an announcement to make this morning. Oh, you want to do it?
Later.
Later, okay. Back to Lisa.
Anyway, the Lord showed me that trauma, disappointment, those things, the lies of the enemy, cause pieces of our soul actually to be scattered or broken. Not just the need for restoration, but to actually be called back.
Reassembled.
Reassembled and healed. There's a Rita Springer song called Defender, and there's a line in it that says, when I thought I'd lost me, you knew where I left me. And those things that happen in our lives that cause our soul actually to be scattered. God wants to heal, yes, but first to call back the pieces of our soul to be healed.
And you know, it's being done. Whoa. Sanctified for all time. This is the process that God wants to accomplish, and he wants to do it today. And by the way, you say, well, I had that done when I was 10 years ago when I first got saved. I got news for you. There's more to be done. There's more to be done. And he's the one that does it. We don't do it. He does it. He has done it, and he wants to do it.
What about the magnets?
Oh, I was talking to you. Sorry. Didn't mean to be talking to you loudly. So here's the thing. I want to pray a prayer, and I want you to agree with the prayer, and I want you to agree in some specific arenas. Where there's been abandonment or injury or devaluation, I want you to choose right now to forgive, okay? Because we're going to go through that as number one. Number two, I'm going to cut off from you spiritual attacks. And then I'm going to ask you to ask the Lord to impress himself onto you. So that's the reordering. That's the bringing, reassembling. See, you have a mind. And what that mind needs is to have the image of God re-impressed. The Play-Doh of your soul needs the true fingerprints of God to be impressed into it, okay? Such that that which has been learned is renewed and you are transformed. It's brought back into true form and you can be transformed. That's our process today. I want to read you one other scripture. This comes out of Psalm chapter 89, verses 14 and 15. This is what it says. It says, righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. Okay? Righteousness and justice are the foundations of your throne. He is righteous and just altogether. You can't get away. There's another interpretation. It's your habitation, or it's where you live. Okay. It's the establishment of who he is. Loving kindness and truth go before thee. Would you receive that to yourself? Say, loving kindness and truth go before you, Father. Literally, it's his face that's loving kindness and truth. So we need his face to be impressed on our soul, okay? How blessed are the people who know that joyful sound. What joyful sound? His joyful sound. The sound of him rejoicing over you. The sound of his righteousness and truth and loving kindness and justice. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. I'm going to turn this in just a moment into a confession for us to walk with, okay? In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor, our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to you, Lord. We're going to go there after, okay? I want you right now, if you've got a little stack of things that you can remember, where you have been abandoned, or even places where you think maybe there's this anxiety connected with that event, or possibly there's this depression connected with, you know, that situation or that person. I want you first to choose right now with me that we're going to release forgiveness toward those people. Are you ready to do that? It's essential that we begin by allowing His righteousness and justice to be established within us. Okay, you ready to do this? In the name of Jesus, we release forgiveness to everyone who has misrepresented your love, Heavenly Father. To everyone who has spoken or done abandonment into us. For everyone who has devalued us or put us down in any fashion and given the enemy a moment's notice to be able to speak death into us and to lie against the very nature of the Heavenly Father. We release forgiveness to the people involved. Every single one of them. Say amen. Say, I forgive. I forgive them all. In Jesus' name. So then, I'm going to just war over you briefly right now. And I want you to agree with me and with your Heavenly Father as you receive freedom in these arenas. Are you ready? Let's just close our eyes. Everybody that's not dealing with Makata, maybe. In Jesus' name, I just cut off over every single one of these, every spiritual force, every curse, every lie that has come against the true knowledge of God. In Jesus' name, I render destroyed, I render inert every spoken word, every action, every deed that has come against the truth of the nature of the Heavenly Father. I cut off, in the name of Jesus, every single lie, in Jesus' name. Enemy, you are routed. Enemy, you are removed. Enemy, you are disinvited and you are not welcome back. Enemy, you must go, in the name of Jesus. I cut off from this your people, Lord Jesus, every attack. I begin by pulling out the barbs, pulling out the thrusts, and I speak healing in Jesus' name to these souls. Souls, come into alignment. Souls, come into alignment with the kingdom of God in Jesus' name. I just speak even an impression of the nature of the Father in Jesus' name over every single person in this room. But I pray that in our souls, you would be represented well. We pray that you would even shift how we think, shift the programs of how we feel, shift the mechanisms by which we do things in our minds and our wills and our emotions. I just release over these your precious ones a fresh anointing of your Holy Spirit. Pour out your Spirit upon us, we pray. Cause us to come into alignment with wholeness. Cause us to come into alignment with the truth. Your loving kindness and your truth go before you. They are your face to us. They're your countenance to us. And we just receive your loving kindness and your truth. Father, we pray that even right now, that there would be a new stronghold of your love, stronghold of your life, stronghold of your truth into each of our souls, we pray. Father, I pray that you would cause us to be adamant about your truth, adamant about your loves, very personally and corporately and globally, that we would be absolutely sure and certain in every possible way of your love. I just release your love in fresh, fresh measure to each one of us. Fresh measure. Let's say something together. You ready? Let's say, I am not rejected. I am loved. Father accepts me. I'm not rejectable. Because Father accepts me. I speak in Jesus' name, healing. Lord, healing over each of these, your precious ones, every single one of them. Your healing in your life, in Jesus' name. I declare healing and wholeness in Jesus' name. Now, I want to speak to us very briefly. Are we free from that moment? Anybody have something in that moment? Are we good, Dan? Yeah. Favor from him? He favors us? God does indeed do that. His love and his favor are upon us. And I'll just declare that. In the name of Jesus, I pray for a revelation of your love and because of that, of your favor. In Jesus' name. Amen. Listen, I want us to come into whole alignment with the love of God. It's easy to say, it's easy to remember negative experiences and to say things that are in accordance with them. It's easy to say, well, I'm always and I've always been like that. Or this is how I've always felt, or this is how I've always been. Those are easy things to do because of the soulish connection. Don't fall into that trap. Dad, you have something?
All right, here's the rest of that 10 thing. For by one offering he perfected for all time those who are sanctified. That's us. He perfected for all time those who are sanctified. And the Holy Spirit also testifies to us. For after saying, this is the covenant that I will make with them after those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their hearts and on their minds I will write them. And then he says, their sins and their lawless deeds I will remember no more. I just want you to see, yes, forgiveness is a very, very real part of what he has done. I don't want to underestimate the value of forgiveness. He has forgiven us. But it didn't end there. He pours into us by his Spirit the laws, and when it says the laws of God, it has to do with the testimonies, it has to do with the promises, it has to do all that God has said. He pours into us. This is the covenant that I will make in those days, says the Lord. I will put my laws upon their hearts, and on their minds I will write that. And that's what you're talking about, impressing or implanting his face within us. And it's done once for all time. It's a happening that's underway.
Let me clearly interpret that. Okay, so I will put my laws upon. If you look back in the Hebrew there, that word is Torah. And the word Torah is teaching. I will put my teachings, my ways, on their heart. That's what he's actually saying. We think law, we think, you know, Ten Commandments or, you know, a few hundred other commandments. That's not what he's saying. What he's saying is, I will put my teaching, my stuff, my ways into them.
Lord,
into their heart.
Lord, we receive that. You are doing it, and we argue. You are doing it, we receive it. We receive your testimony. We receive your love. We receive your instruction. We receive your declarations. We receive your favor. We open our hearts to receive here today. Once for all time, made available to us, and we receive today.
You see, let me say that in our minds, we have the capacity to learn things, right? And I don't know if you ever noticed, but you know, if you've gone through a traumatic situation, you may dream about it. Want to know why? You're actually reliving mentally, emotionally, that same thing. Your brain is helping itself learn everything out of that it's supposed to. Understood? Or maybe a whole bunch that it's not supposed to. Is that right? And so here's the real deal. Stuff that floats around inside your head, thoughts about yourself, thoughts about others toward yourself, whether your buddy likes you or not, okay? And the consequences of maybe him not wanting to talk to you. Possibly. Those things that swirl around inside your head, those are teaching you. And I'd rather have you be taught by God. And I'd rather have you be taught by His love and His truth, His face upon you. I'd rather have you be taught by those things. So you have to be aware. We talk many times about taking every thought captive. What's that thought saying? How is that thought rooted in the nature of God? Oh, it's not. It's just in some other facts. Well, then don't do it. Don't have that thought come along and wander around and take up space and time in your mind. Want to know why? Because if it's not rooted in the nature of God, then it ought to be suspect. There's no neutral. If it's not rooted in God, then it's suspect. You need to begin to recognize. I talk about the thoughts because many times they come out in words and we say about ourselves this or that. And when we say something about ourselves, is that rooted in the nature of God or is it not rooted in the nature of God? If it's not rooted in the nature of God, then is it something that you want to come out of your mouth? Oh, it's just a fact. Oh, is it really? Oh, it's a fact that's opposed to the nature of God? Which kind of facts are we dealing with here? Are we talking facts or are we talking the nature of God?
David, when I came to this church a few years back, I realized God is the original binary. It's one or zero and nothing else.
Biggest lies, I personally think, is the one that says you don't have the ability to choose. You can't choose not to think that. You can't choose to think this instead.
You see, that the mind, the will, and the emotions are all part of your soul that Dad was talking about, and these are bondages of the soul. These are bondages that take root in your emotions, in your, oh, I can't. No, actually, you can. You can think differently. You can think coherently with God's perspective and God's ways. That's believing God. That is believing Him because you can allow His thoughts to be the things that run around inside your head. And again, I want to say to you, do not come into agreement, mentally or verbally, even emotionally, do not come into agreement with the enemy against God, but come into agreement with God. We're gonna address some of these same topics in another arena, but before we go there, I want you to decide now that you're going to think the thoughts of God and that you're going to reject thoughts that come against the thoughts of God in you. Is that okay? Can we go there? And I want you to decide right now that you're going to verbalize the thoughts and the ways, the Torah, the teachings of God, and you're not going to verbalize things that come against Him. Is that okay? Can we go there? Those are decisions we're going to make. Yeah, we're going to work our way there, and God's going to do His thing, okay? By His Spirit, He's going to say, well, you didn't want to say that. I got to tell you something. In my mouth, okay, if I say, George, you know, what a jerk you are, okay, which there's times when I've said that kind of thing. I'll tell you, I catch it and I break it off myself. Because it's against God. It's not the truth because it's against Him. When I say that, I'm saying a lie against God. And I don't want to sit here and say lies against God. Does that make sense? I'm not saying that we don't do silly things sometimes, like that I just said. But then I'm going to undo. I'm going to hit a control Z on that, okay? And I'm going to undo, and I'm going to say something that's true, connected with what God's up to. Real. Now, that's the truth. Now, you know, maybe I did just do something stupid, okay? Maybe we could all vote and agree, but you know what God says? That's my boy, I love him. Yeah, you know, he's mine. There's a difference between doing it and being it. And the reality is, according to the scriptures that Dad was just reading, Hebrews chapter 10, I've been perfected. Can you help me out with that scripture again, Dad? I'll look it up, actually. I got it right here. What verse are we on?
14.
For by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are sanctified, those who are being sanctified. Yep.
He just wiped out all time. He said, all time. I'm doing this for all time, those who are sanctified. Everybody that in time, from zero to whenever it ends, all time. Those who are sanctified, I am perfected. He is determined.
And the verb there, I believe, is the aorist tense, because it's for by one offering he has perfected for all time those who are being sanctified. So understand that for all time there's a truth, even though you're in process. Did you hear what I said? For all time there's a truth, even though you're in process. You're on the way? No, you're there. Yes, you're on the way. You're there. You understand? And that's what the scriptures say. You are on the way, but you're there. For all time, it says, you're there. So we believe. So let's I'm going to pray a prayer you can agree with me in your heart. Father, we just come before you and we commit our minds. Put your hands on your head if you don't mind. We commit our minds to you and to your Holy Spirit. We recognize that you are sanctifying us and therefore you have perfected us. We commit our minds to that work. We will take every thought captive. Now put your hand on your mouth. We will take every word captive. We thank you, Father, that you have given to us the ability to speak your words, and we will take every word captive as well. We commit our mouths to you, and we ask that you would sanctify every word, thought, and deed. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
When I began to discover or realize the thing about Hebrews 10, I also was faced with a reality that addresses the bondage of the mind, and there is a tremendous reality that as a child of God, I think we're getting feedback on the monitors or something. As a child of God, the Spirit of God is present and working, and you may not know intellectually, the soul may not know what's going on. And I just want you to
to recognize that you don't have to know what's going on. You know, in a way, we want to know what's going on because we want to be in charge of what's going on. We want to participate knowingly. And I want to just say that what God wants to do in the Spirit is far bigger than your mind. What he wants to do through you by the Spirit is bigger than your intellect. I challenge you to step up into an awareness that the bondage of the mind would try to put God inside the confines of what we understand about him. I got it. Now I understand. Now I can tell you what God is. He's bigger than your mind. And I want you to dare to believe and actually expect that as you walk, you carrying God, carrying the Spirit of God, carrying the life of God, there is a bigger impact on your world than what your mind is capable of doing. Can you get that? This is incredible. I want you to catch it. I want you to dare to believe it. One of the reasons why it's valuable to pray in tongues, if those of you that have that gift operative in you, is that the scriptures say that you are edified. That does not mean you understand everything that's going on. It simply means that spiritually you just got bigger. The building got bigger. And you carry the building to wherever you go. And the life of God leaks out. You say, well, I didn't say anything. You don't have to say anything. And unless he's saying it, it's a waste of words anyways. But if he motivates you to say something, have at it. Then there is the releasing of God through the intellect as well as through the Spirit. But I just want to challenge you to recognize that God has created spiritual beings. You are a spiritual being, and your brain does not hold it all. Your emotions don't hold it all. It can't. You are bigger than you are. And I said exactly what I intended to say. You are bigger than you are. You contain the life of God, the very nature of God, and he is expressing himself through you. And you say, well, I didn't say anything. You don't have to say anything. There will be times when you do say something and you need to say something. And there will be times where you just carry the presence of God in there and God does whatever he's doing through you. And you say, well, I don't understand that. You don't have to understand it either. That's all a part of the bondage of the mind. We want to make the mind bigger than the Spirit. And God's intention is to make the Spirit bigger than the mind. And he invites us to participate with him, the bigger one, to accomplish his bigger purposes through us and in us. Can you say amen to that? Just say, I want to be there. Go for it, God. Have your way, Lord. And I will not contradict you with the stupids of my mind. I will agree with you. You go ahead and do your stuff and accomplish your big purposes through me.
When you agree with God, when you agree with him, hey, ladies, let's go back to worship. When you agree with him, you allow all of what he wants to happen in and through you to have maximum sway when you agree with him. So we do come into a complete agreement with God. I'm going to read to you again this scripture. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of your throne. Loving kindness and truth go before you. How blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. O Lord, they walk in the light of your countenance. In your name they rejoice all the day, and by your righteousness they are exalted. For you are the glory of their strength, and by your favor our horn is exalted. For our shield belongs to the Lord, and our King to the Holy One of Israel. Amen. Anyone that would like further ministry in this arena, we will have opportunity after the service for that. So come up and we'll connect further. But let's go back to worship. Thank you.
Just one moment. Dave had a word. Sometimes a word is important. A word. What's your word, Dave?
Four. I woke up at some point between 4 and 5 o'clock this morning, and all I heard was like the Gulf, four! And I didn't know why. But I believe that that word is a word of warning to us. This is the truth that you have heard, and you can accept it or you can reject it. It's a word of warning. You can accept it and make it part of you, or you can reject it and the destruction that it'll bring. This was the word of the Lord. Caution. Caution. Choose carefully.
I receive the word of the Lord for me. I receive, and I will receive again tomorrow. I'm not going to quit with this. I receive it in Jesus' name. We are going to have you sing in a minute.
I just want to say that we all put our hands on our heads for the mind of Christ. So I declare over all of you that you have the mind of Christ, and you can do all things through Christ who strengthens you.
To me, good to me.
There's a fountain full of grace. Flows. Manuals. It came and it healed me. It came and refreshed me.
Rejoice. Rejoice. It's a time to celebrate. The Lord is saying, this is a season of celebration that I'm bringing you into. The thing that he showed me was when Obed-Edom had the Ark of the Covenant, David saw it with his natural eye. He saw what Obed-Edom was benefiting from having the presence of God. And David wanted that. He wanted it desperately that he brought the ark back. And even though his wife mocked him for dancing before the Lord, he said at the very end of that, I will celebrate before the Lord. No matter what anybody thinks. And the Lord is saying to all of us, this is a time to recognize the presence of God in your life that brings celebration, that brings joy, that puts you in right standing with where the Lord wants you to be. So the time of celebration is here. We can look around us and see everything that's going on and say, this is not good. But the Lord is saying it's a season to celebrate. Amen.
Amen. So we do rejoice this morning. We do celebrate. There is a fountain. I'd like you to put that back up, James. There is a fountain. There is a fountain. Can you find that, James? It's coming. That flows from Emmanuel's veins. There's something that God, the very life of God, there's a fountain full of grace and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. While the noise and nastiness goes on, there is a fountain. It didn't stop the fountain. There is a fountain full of grace and it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It came and healed me. It came and refreshed me. It came and washed my sins away. There is something to celebrate. God is on the move, and we celebrate that reality. When we read that, it flows from Emmanuel's veins. It flows from the God with us. That's what Emmanuel means, God with us. It flows out of his presence, God with us. And we receive that this morning. And because of that reality, we rejoice. Because he is with us, we celebrate. I will rejoice and be glad.
Amen.
It is a time for rejoicing, a time to put our expectations high. Last week, Dad shared with us out of Luke 4, Isaiah 61, about the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me because he has anointed me to go and do and be who he has called us to be. So I just want to encourage us. You know, sometimes when people get fat, you're kind of like, oh, what are they going to do? But there's other times when people get fat when you can just be very, very happy about everything. And so my little girl here has been putting on a little bit of weight. And in March, she plans to have a crash diet. What's the day, March?
9th.
March 9th. And we are just absolutely rejoicing together. If you've noticed that she's put on weight, it's for a very good reason, okay? And we're very happy. Nate's going to be around, as you guys know, in a month or so. He'll be back into regular church attendance. But by then, she'll be too big to not notice. And we're gonna have a party coming up celebrating this in a little bit. You guys will all be invited. Late October. I forgot, October?
28th.
And we're just rejoicing. I've truly enjoyed grandchild one, and I just can't wait to get grandchild two in my arms, I must admit. So I'm looking forward to my time. Congratulations, Courtney and Nate and all of us. And God's good to us, and he has said that things are good. He has declared over us life, and I'm delighted in him.
Just a couple of announcements. Many of you have been praying for Don Holdforth. He passed away. One of the verses of scripture that I started to quote, and he quoted it before I got done with it. And the scripture was, "He that liveth and believeth shall never die." And so it's kind of Jesus said that, by the way, and of course Jesus is usually right, you know, about 110% of the time. And so to think that Don Holdforth died is contradicting Jesus, because all the time until he could no longer communicate, whenever I would pray with him and say, I release healing and health to my brother, he would say, "I receive that. I believe that." And so Don has changed his address. He's now located in heaven someplace. And there will be a service at the funeral home in Palmyra, 123 Main Street in Palmyra. And the visiting hours at 10 o'clock Friday morning, and 11 service 11 o'clock Friday, the 5th of the month of October, 5th of October. You're certainly welcome to come. One of the incredibly encouraging times of was repeated occasions when his brother or his cousin, people who believe God, came to visit him. He had a pile of visitors, and they were believing God. They were not downcast or hopeless. They were hopeful and expectant, and it was an encouraging time to see people that we've never met before who were confident in the goodness of God. And so we celebrate his graduation, his commencement, a new day in his life. Second item that we want to note is that there's a sign-up sheet for lawn mowing, and 1 week that's missing getting signed up is this week, this current week. Then there are people signed up for other weeks ahead. So this current week is blank. If you want to do something about mowing, that would be this week if you want to. And next Sunday at the end of the service, we will be receiving and blessing Ron Verdow, who has
agreed to become a deacon working among us, serving us in that capacity. And so near the end of the service next Sunday, we will receive him and bless him and install him as a deacon at CLF. Those are the announcements I have.
I have one other announcement. I have a son named George the Fourth, who turned 15 this past week. I'm just real proud of the young man and the young man of God that he is. And he's a blessing to me. Give him a hug. You know, 15-year-old boys love it when you do that.
A food pantry this week, Thursday night.
There's one other arena that I wanted to address today. Are you going to preach today? Okay, so we're not going to get any preaching done today at all, okay? So, but there's one other area that I wanted to address, and that is intercession for our nation. I wanted you to join with me in some intercession. I want to just speak a word or two about the situation. There's a guy named Kavanaugh. I think you might have heard of him. Judge Kavanaugh is before the Senate to be confirmed in his selection as a Supreme Court justice. And there's just been a whole lot of games and politics being played, and ugly games and ugly politics. Right? Anybody notice that? Anybody else besides me? And so we should pray for Judge Kavanaugh. And we should welcome the foundations of the throne of God into our nation. But I want us to be careful. I want us to be careful with how we see ourselves. By the way, McKenna just reminded me, in your bulletin is a sheet that has to do with Isaiah chapter 61. I'd really like to encourage you to read this again and work it through. Okay, so get this and don't let it fall to the side. It's worthwhile. I'm going to read you another section of Scripture. The Lord reigns, let the earth rejoice, let the many islands be glad. Clouds and thick darkness surround him. Righteousness and justice are the foundation of his throne. Fire goes up before him and burns up his adversaries round about. His lightnings lit up the world. The earth saw and trembled. The mountains melted like wax at the presence of the Lord, at the presence of the Lord of the whole earth. The heavens declare his righteousness, and all the peoples have seen his glory. Here's the truth. God is a God of justice, and God is a God of righteousness, and God is a God of faithfulness and loving kindness and mercy. We don't need to get politically angry. Hear me, and hear me clearly. We do not need to argue with our politics with anger. If God calls us into a place of righteous indignation, well, okay, then stand in that place of anger. But be very careful. Don't go there without his clear calling and clear positioning in terms of righteous indignation. On the other hand, you can call down his kingdom every single day. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven.
I had a very interesting experience with the whole Kavanaugh thing. My boss is very into this, and he has loved Obama, and he has loved Hillary Clinton, and he has loved all the stuff that goes with it. And so when the Kavanaugh thing was happening, he wanted to watch that, and so he told me he was going to take the day off and go home and watch it. And so I was like, okay. And he said, are you going to watch it? And I said, well, yeah, I'm going to do it right here in the office. And he said, you can do that? And I said, yes, I can. And so he said, I'm going to watch it with you. I'll come into the office and you bring it up. And as long as you're sure you can do it, I'll watch it with you. So we sat in my office watching the whole Kavanaugh thing. And I asked him a question, and he said, well, you know this is about abortion, right? And I said, yes, I do. I didn't know that you knew that. And he said, yes, he did. And I said, well, I don't like abortion myself. And he got quiet. And then Ford, gets up and starts doing her thing. And while she's doing her thing, he says, do you think she's credible? And I said, well, the thing that I notice is that whenever they have a witness against a Republican, they're always very knowledgeable. They've gone to school. They have doctorates and all that kind of stuff under them. I notice things like that. And he just got really, really quiet. And you could tell he was thinking about all the times people have come up against and how much the degrees were there. So the next day, after everything had been over, and by the way, I got to pray for her through the whole thing. I got to pray for him through the whole thing. It was wonderful. I was just like, Lord, this is awesome. You set this up. So, and I could feel the Lord in that room. It was amazing. And then the next day, one of our clients came in and asked him how he felt about the whole thing. And he said, you know, I don't know. He usually has an opinion. And suddenly he's like, I don't know. I couldn't believe it. It was awesome.
Here's the truth. We don't need to be angry. Unless God calls us to be angry, okay, well, you know, if he calls you to righteous indignation, then, you know, stand there. But be careful not to participate in the political gamesmanship, because all of that promotes the enemy. If, you know, if the Republican is just as mad as the Democrat, and who is just as mad as the Republican, who is just as angry and you know, there's not a win in that. The win comes from thy kingdom come. Now, I'm not saying that God doesn't have a will in this matter. He does. And I'm not saying that God isn't at work in this matter. He is. And I'm not saying that God's not moving and God's not shaking. He is doing those things. And we're going to come into agreement with that. But be careful that we do it from the kingdom to earth standpoint instead of the political standpoint, because that's where we need to live and be. So I'd like us to pray. If there's a few of you that would like to agree in prayer, I'd love to have more than my voice be raised, but it's up to you as you wish. Father, we come before you. We dedicate again this nation to you and to your purposes and to your kingdom. We say, your kingdom come into the United States of America, even as it is in heaven, we pray in Jesus' name. We release over this nation a spirit of repentance, a spirit of justice, a spirit of righteousness. Lord, we pray that your loving kindness, your mercy, and your truth would come to bear into this nation. We ask you, Lord, that you would grace every one of us into a place of repentance, into a place of righteousness, and into a place of releasing the kingdom destinies of this nation into reality. Lord, we bless the Kavanaugh family. We ask you, Lord, for your keeping around them, your covering of them. Lord, they speak your name. They love you. And I pray that you would use this relatively horrendous set of days to draw them into you and to draw them closer to you. We just cut off any false learning of abandonment, any false learning of destruction or devaluation, rejection. We cut off those lies over them and we release them into your love in a new revelation of your love, we pray in Jesus' name. Over Dr. Ford, Lord, we just pray that you would so capture her that even all of the lies and the ascending lies that are surrounding her would be destroyed, and that there would be a release of your life and your love into her life, we pray in Jesus' name. We also devote the nature, the construction of the Supreme Court of the United States to you. We pray that it would be holy unto you. We pray, Lord, that even as this group of men is intended to represent justice in this nation, that you would cause justice to flow like a mighty river from in this nation. And in that high court, we just declare that it's the Supreme Court of justice, of the King's justice, in Jesus' name. Amen. Anyone else want to pray a prayer, or are we good to go?
I'd just like to say that Ashley Kavanaugh asked us all to pray Psalm 40 over the family, so okay. Maybe we could do that.
Yeah, Psalm 40. We'll do that. That's a good thing. Anybody else with a word, another word or a prayer?
I don't know if you guys know it or not, but President Trump has a Bible from people from Scotland, where there was a revival happening, and one of his relatives came to America and brought that revival Bible, mm-hmm. and President Trump has it now in the White House. And so I'm declaring revival in the White House,
Amen.
Revival in the United States.
Amen.
The kingdom of God is coming, and revival is going out across the nation.
Amen. I'll declare that with you. I'm in agreement. Amen. I'm just going to read chapter 40, Psalm 40. I have not prepared it in any regard, so we'll just read it together, okay? Here it goes. I waited patiently for the Lord, and he inclined to me and heard my cry. He brought me up out of the pit of destruction, up out of the miry clay. He set my feet upon a rock, making my footsteps firm. He put a new song in my mouth, a song of praise to our God. We're just doing this intercessorily for that family, okay? And for the whole nation and for us too. Many will see and fear and will trust in the Lord. How blessed is the man who has made the Lord his trust and has not turned to the proud nor to those who lapse into falsehood. Many, O Lord, my God, are the wonders which thou hast done, and thy thoughts toward us. There is none to compare with thee. If I would declare and speak of them, they would be too numerous to count. Sacrifice and meal offering thou hast not desired. My ears thou hast opened. Burnt offering and sin offering thou hast not required. Then I said, Behold, I come. In the scroll of the book it is written of me. I delight to do thy will, O my God. Thy law is within my heart. Thy teaching is within my heart. I have proclaimed glad tidings of righteousness in the great congregation. Behold, I will not restrain my lips, O Lord, thou knowest. I have not hidden thy righteousness within my heart. I have spoken of thy faithfulness and thy salvation. I have not concealed thy loving kindness and thy truth from the great congregation. Thou, O Lord, will not withhold from me thy compassion. Thy loving kindness and thy truth will continually preserve me. For evils beyond number have surrounded me. My iniquities have overtaken me, so I am not able to see. They are more numerous than the hairs of my head, and my heart has failed me. Be pleased, O Lord, to deliver me. Make haste, O Lord, to help me. Let those be ashamed and humiliated together who seek my life to destroy it. Let those be turned back and dishonored who delight in my hurt. Let those be appalled because of their shame. Those who say to me, Aha, aha. Let all who seek thee rejoice and be glad in thee. Let those who love thy salvation say continually, The Lord be magnified. Let's say that. The Lord be magnified. Since I am afflicted and needy, let the Lord be mindful of me. Thou art my help and my deliverer. Do not delay, O my God. Amen and amen.
Came to mind several times during service that the Lord placed upon my heart that a renewing of all.
So we declare over this congregation, these are your people, and even this nation, a renewing, a coming to life again before you. In Jesus' name, amen. You're dismissed. Lord bless you all. If there's anyone who'd like continued ministry, please feel free to come forward.